Good Monday morning, everybody. Glad to be back. I was gone for a couple of weeks, so thanks for still tuning in and listening to all the great music that was played in my absence. You are listening to KDUR 91.9 93.9 FM, and this is the Four Corners Arts Forum. And each week, while I'm here, I always have a wonderful artistic guest in the studio. And I've got a friend in this morning, and his name's Greg Parham. And he is the, CEO, builder, founder, great mind.
All of the above.
of Rocky Mountain Tiny Houses. And he's in studio this morning with me because we're going to talk about how in the heck someone builds, lives, what's the progress of all of this tiny house phenomena that's kind of sweeping the nation now, huh?
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah. So how? First off, I want people to get to know you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
fine. I won't
ask
you too many personal questions, I swear.
Shoot away.
So what, how did you, how should I say this? How did you come to find Durango? And why did you decide that this is a place you wanted to be?
Sure. Well, just like several Durangutans, I had passed through here before, vacationed here before. And it just has that effect. You come here and you're like, wow, this is going to be, I'm going to live here someday. This place is so cool. So there came a time for me to leave my former town of Austin, Texas, and I just loaded up my truck and came here.
And so you've, and tell us a little bit about your history in Austin. I mean, you studied there and you raced there. Talk a little bit about that.
So I grew up in a small Texas town called Terrell, and after graduating high school, I decided I wanted to get a degree in architecture. And at the time, University of Texas, you know, just down the road from me, it was one of the top 10 schools in the nation. And I had no idea how hard it was to get in. I just submitted my application and they let me in. And so spent 5 years getting the degree. And Austin's a great town as well. After graduation, I decided to stick around for a few more years. And I worked as an architect there in town. And so that's sort of my background is really architecture and also carpentry. I bought a house and I was always working on it. And I've always had small carpentry jobs. And so that's sort of the background for, you know, my construction experience.
So, you know, a lot of people who are listening just, I mean, whenever they see someone do like architectural plans or they see the drawing of all of that, and there's so much work that goes into something like that. Easy feat.
It's not. You have to think. You're sitting there thinking of a building in your brain, and then you have to find a way to convey all your ideas in these 2D drawings. And it, it's very complicated and complex. And even today, I'm drawing tiny houses, and I won't I won't find a problem until I actually start building the house. You know.
So. Yeah. Well, I guess you have to put the pen to the paper and figure that out, huh? I mean, that's
pen to the paper and then, you know, hammer to the nail.
Yes. And so are you using, you're still, because you moved to Durango and you did some independent work and then you worked for a local builder as well.
Yeah, I was working with Sunpeak Builders as a contractor for a little bit. And that was a really great gig. Learned a lot about managing subs and managing clients' money and just scheduling. Working with suppliers, and that was a great experience. And, you know, probably that definitely goes into my history as well. I probably wouldn't be where I am today without that experience.
And being in Durango now, you've got a taste of everything, so you're going to just dive into these tiny houses, huh? How did that come about? How did tiny house even come into your radar?
So, yeah, probably 2 years ago, I was living with a friend, and trying to figure out where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, and she sent me a link that she had found somewhere about tiny houses or the tiny house movement, and I saw that, and I'm like, wow, that is, I'm going to do that someday. I really want to live in a tiny house, and at first, it was, the thought was just I want to build one and live in one. I had no idea I'd be starting a business about it, but after I got to building my tiny house, I'm like, this encompasses everything that I love, you know, the design aspect, the getting my hands dirty, the building it, the management, the marketing, I also have a little bit of experience in internet marketing and real estate investing. And so this business concept was just the best of all of my skills and my talents, and I just loved it. So you know.
So she sent you the link, and you fell in love with it.
Yes, I did.
And you continued to work in Durango, and then how did you just decide to, you know what, I'm going to make this a business, and I'm going to do it?
Well, it all started, I had that house I owned in Austin, I had been holding on to it as a rental, and I was just thinking, last Christmas, I was driving home, and I had all this debt, and all these financial concerns, and I was still trying to think, how am I going to get this business going? And it just hit me, oh, I can just sell this house. And I did. I called my realtor up in Austin, and we ran some numbers. He's like, yeah, you can probably make quite a bit of money, and it'd probably sell in 2 weeks. And sure enough, it's sold in 2 weeks, and made all the money I needed to pay my debt and start the business. And so come springtime, you know, I was still working with Sunpeak, and I wanted to finish up my business there. I wanted to help that company just wrap up all the loose ends before I started off on my own. And so after we finished our last big project from the winter, it was a good time, and, you know, I had a talk, and they were cool with it, and we parted ways, and, you know, I still talk to them. And
it seems like you two are pretty good friends. So
we are.
I imagine that you'll continue to discuss things, business,
absolutely,
friendship, everything else.
Yeah.
So spring rolled around, and you decided to build your own tiny house.
I dug in. I said, well, you got to start sometime.
Right.
So I went and I bought my trailer and just started buying materials.
Talk about this process, because I think for a lot of people who don't know what a tiny house is, obviously then it being a small home, like what are the options of what a tiny house could be, and what's the phenomenon,
sure,
of a
so
tiny house?
The movement in the across the country, most people, when they think of a tiny house, they think of the tiny house that is built on a trailer. They see them on the news or pictures, or a friend sent them a link or something. They don't have to be built on a trailer. They can be site built. Just the whole idea is that you're just living simply in a very small structure, and they're cheap to build. Doesn't mean they're poor quality. It just means they're small. It's just not that much that goes into them. And so my trailers, or my tiny houses, are, I'd like to build them on a trailer. And that way you can move them around. You don't need a permit to move them. And you're flexible. And also the main reason people build them on a trailer is to get around building codes. You don't need a permit to do it, because now, instead of being regulated by the city or the county, you're being regulated by the Department of Motor Vehicles because you're on a trailer. So it's just a way to kind of bypass some red tape and be more flexible.
So what size is your trailer that you purchased to build your tiny house on?
So I went with a 16-foot trailer. And most of the time when you're talking trailers, you're describing the length. All of them are going to be about 7'6" wide. And you can only go 13'6" tall for your height. So the only way you can really change is to get a longer trailer. And 16 is the most common. Some people who want to go really tiny will go down to a 12-foot trailer. And then some people who may have a family or a couple, they'll go up all the way up to a 32-foot trailer.
Do you know any families or couples that are living in tiny houses locally?
Not personally, I don't. But
I'd love to see that.
But there are plenty of examples on the web. This one house, it gets a lot of attention. There's a family of five that live in it, you know, the couple and three kids, and it's completely doable. It's just, you know, you got to change your way of thinking.
Oh yeah, I believe that. I like the whole living simply too in a small space. It's nice. I mean, my space isn't that small, but I totally get it.
Sure.
So you bought your trailer and you're purchasing lumber. How did you figure out how you wanted your tiny house to be? I mean, what are the most important components of your own personal tiny house?
So, yeah, this is a good example. Everyone has different needs in their tiny house. And for me, my needs were more related to work. It's also going to be my office. And so when you have a house that small, you have to really prioritize what you're going to be doing the most of. And you want a bigger bedroom? Do you want a bigger kitchen, a bigger bathroom? And for me, you know, I do a lot of drafting and working, and so I decided to go with a bigger living room and a bigger office space, which are sort of the one and the same. And that's another thing, you find ways to combine functions into the same space and just get rid of redundancy. But some people, they prefer a bigger kitchen, and I get that. People love cooking. And then some people prefer a bigger bathroom. They like to take a long hot shower and do hair, makeup, whatever. So it's just a matter of personal preference. What are you going to be doing the most of in your tiny house? And for me, it was more office work. And that's when I'm inside, I'm either sleeping or doing office work. And usually I'm outside just building tiny houses right now. So
I was about to say, majority of the time you're outside,
yes,
period.
Yeah.
You're that kind of fellow. So, you know, in getting all of this together for your own personal tiny house, you know, how did you develop your house? And, you know, because you've got a lot of beautiful components to your home, like solar and all of this other stuff. So talk a little bit about that so the listener can understand that you do have options with tiny houses.
Oh, for sure. There's tons of options. I wanted my house to, well, it's the show house for the model house for the company. So not only is it a place where I live, but I bring clients in there to take a look. So I wanted it to sort of feature almost everything I could get in there so people could get an idea of what, you know, possible things you can do. So I put multiple finishes in there, multiple components. You can plug it into the city, or you can run it off solar. You can plug it into the city water, or you can have an off-grid water tank. You can have a composting toilet, or you can plug it into the city sewer. It really just depends on where you're going to be and what you're looking for. If you want to park this thing up in the middle of a mountain where there's nobody, you know, we can do that. If you want to be in the city, that's possible too. So
how was the response for you after you had your Durango Herald article come out? Did you get a lot of calls or a lot more interest?
So the day of, I didn't get any calls. It was really funny. I had a lot of people, you know, on the web. Everything's going web these days. There was a very good warm response on the internet and Facebook, but I actually didn't get any calls. And I got a few emails, but actually it was people hoping to work for me. It wasn't anybody ready to order a house. But since then, gradually, I've been getting calls and emails, and it looks like I'm going to have a busy winter. A couple of people from Santa Fe and Denver and the Front Range, people are going to be signing. I'll be building some tiny houses here. And spring looks to be even busier, so it's a good time.
So have you driven your tiny house anywhere, and what was that like if you have?
Well, just here in town. I haven't driven it too far. You know, I took it to the farmer's market one day, which is actually how this whole thing got started. The guy from the Herald saw it, and he's the one that came out and did the story. And several other people who saw the house at the market that day, they told their friend, you know, they spread the word. So this is really how this business is going to get going, is word of mouth. But I haven't towed it really more than about 5 miles. But it's kind of fun. You get a lot of looks going down the street.
Well, gosh, you know, people in Durango have built on campers, handmade campers. I mean, they have everything in Durango sometimes seems handmade when it's an additional piece to your vehicle.
Oh, sure.
So I would imagine that, you know, someone pulling a house on a trailer, it's part of the norm now. You know, it seems like it could happen all the time.
Yeah.
So the reason I asked that question, because I was wondering if you had taken it up into the mountains yet.
Not yet, but this house I'm building now, the next model, it's designed to be much more lightweight and aerodynamic and just easier to tow. That's part of the reason my house came out a little heavy. It's towable, you know, with a half ton or three quarter ton truck, but it's just kind of a pain. Since I live in it, you know, every time you want to move it, you have to pack everything up and secure everything. And so I haven't had that chance yet. But this next house, I'm hoping, once it's done, you know, tow it up to Mola's Pass or something and get some pictures and let people see it. And yeah.
So I know when you're developing your own tiny house, I mean, that was for you personally and you knew exactly what you wanted. Talk about what it's like helping another person design or have all of their thoughts and ideas come to fruition and building a tiny house for themselves with you helping.
Oh, sure.
Them.
That's the most fun part of what I do, I think. It's just a lot of these other builders in the country, they offer just sort of stock models and stock plans. You can change a few things maybe, but they're not going to really take the time to, you know, sit down for 8 hours or 10 hours or however long it takes to listen to all your thoughts and ideas and get you a fully complete custom design. And that, to me, that's what I really enjoy. It's the most fun, hearing people's needs and Right now, I've got this client in Santa Fe who's just extremely chemical sensitive, and I can't use a single synthetic material in this house. And this, she's even allergic to certain, like pine. I can't use pine. So we're having to like get samples of all these materials to make sure they work for her. And, you know, that's a good example. There's also people that, I've got another client, she doesn't want a loft. Some of these older people, they can't climb a ladder or stairs to get up to their sleeping loft. So we're coming up with a special floor plan, you know, the bed's on the first floor, and then we're going to change some things around. And I just love all that stuff. Just taking the time to listen to people and try to meet their needs.
You've been talking about the people in an older couple or a woman, and I'm just curious what your age range of interest is for tiny houses. What has it been so far?
It's been all over the board.
I was wondering.
Yeah, I've had, generally it tends to be female people that are calling me, female clients. I don't know. I guess the guys just don't like tiny houses, or they just figure they can build them themselves. I'm not really sure, but I've had people as young as 25 call me, and all the way up to 65. Seems to be the range I'm dealing with right now.
Might be nice to be 65 and rather than have an RV, just take your house up into the woods and stay there for a couple of months, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. These things, that's another thing, you know, you haven't asked it yet, but people, I get a lot of questions. Why are these things better than a camper? Or are they different than a camper?
Completely.
And the main difference is they're built like a house. They're just on a much smaller scale. So they're much better insulated. The craftsmanship is much more like a house. It's not cheap plastic parts you see in a camper, and they're just much more comfortable. They feel like a house. They look like a house.
So that's what makes them a little more heavier to move.
Exactly. It does. So they're meant to be moved maybe, you know, two times a year, up to two. They're not meant to be a weekend warrior. I mean, if that's what you want, we could come up with something, but it's not going to quite be a tiny house. It's going to be more of a hybrid tiny house camper kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's possible for people who want to do that. Yeah. But really, it's a house, and you're only going to move it once or twice a year. It's kind of the bottom line.
Hmm. So if you're just joining us on KDUR 91.993.9, I'm interviewing Greg Parham this morning, and he's talking about Rocky Mountain Tiny Houses. And he does have a website, rockymountaintinyhouses.com. But we're just chatting a little bit about this new endeavor for him and how this is all going to go, and talking about possible ideal clients. So thanks for joining us. So, Greg, I'm also curious too, though. So a lot, I'm sure you get a question all the time about these houses that, you know, obviously they're going to be really comfortable in the summertime and in the spring and late spring and early fall. How does someone prepare a tiny house to stay in the winter?
Well, you just got to have a reliable heat source. That's it. They are so small and so well insulated. People joke you can heat these things with a candle. And After a few cold nights, you know, it's been down to 21 here in Durango, and I haven't quite been able to heat it with a candle, but...
You've been heating it with your dog.
Yeah, me and a dog and a nice down blanket, but they really don't take much to heat. You can have a propane heater in there. I've actually got a wood stove on the way from Grand Junction, a little company called Colorado Cylinder Stoves. They make these tiny little stoves for tents for cowboy campers and the like. So they have a model that's real small that's going to fit in the house, and I've got a feeling it's actually going to burn me out. It's just going to be way too much heat. So
probably, huh? You and Rocco both are just going to be suffering from heat for the winter. No, it'll be fine. So you've built your home, and you actually put it on a property in Durango. And how are you enjoying having that home where you are right now? Because I mean, I know you were out on a farm in a camper trailer kind of situation too, but this is a house. So how's it for you?
Oh, it's fantastic. The piece of land I found here in Durango is kind of tucked away. It's hidden. Not too many people know about it, and it's right on the river. It was kind of fun to joke about. Oh, I live in a tiny house down by the river.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. It's
maybe
free.
That can be one of your PR plugs. I think everyone recognizes the van down by the river, but a tiny house down by the river is nice.
Sure.
So that's been a great spot for you, and you've been happy, and you're going to be building the tiny houses there as well.
Yeah, I live there, and it's a commercial lease. It is set up for me to build my houses, and I built a shop down there to have some cover and store all the tools. So it's been working out very well so far.
What's the time frame? Like, how long did it take you to, from, you know, idea of what you wanted your tiny house to be like to actually it being finished to be lived in? What
was the time frame? Oh, that's tough to say, because there's, I put a lot of design time in there. And this is when I was still working for Sunpeak. I didn't have time to start building, but at nighttime I would just sit down and start drawing my ideas and getting them ready to go. I'd say, you know, from the time I actually started, it took me about 3.5 months. And that, and part of that was I was still working at the other company. I hadn't quite switched over yet. But, you know, if I really just sat down and said, hey, what were my actual hours? It was probably come out to about 8 weeks, about 2 months. And depending on the design, the complexity, I'd say it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for me to build.
I remember when you were building it, I remember you just, you had this time frame for yourself and you're like, I've got to get this thing built. I've got to get it done. And I know it's because you were also working for the other builder too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for people who are coming to you today saying, this is what I'd really like and what would be the normal time frame, what would you say to them?
Oh, yeah. I tell them 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. And then
that's quick.
It's really not. They're small. They're so small. Once you, and it's getting more efficient now that I've got the pole barn set up and I've got a crane out there I can move walls around with. And
so you're doing this all by yourself?
Mostly. Every now and then there's something I need a hand with and I'll call a friend and buy him dinner or something. But for the time being, yeah, it's just mostly me and an occasional friend. But if the phone keeps ringing like it does, there's going to be a crew out there.
You might be getting back in contact with all the people that emailed you wanting a job.
Exactly.
What does an... Okay, give a cost range for what the most simplest tiny house might cost and the most extravagant.
Oh, sure. So
just so people who are listening can kind of get an
idea.
Yeah,
the house I'm building now was specifically built, designed to be the most affordable option that I can offer. It's a very streamlined, simple, modern design, and it's just the shape of the house makes it easy to build, fast to build. Labor is really what drives the cost up of the houses, not so much the materials. And so I'm shooting for about $23,000 on this model. And then you look at my house, probably something in the middle, probably a little bit over the middle because it's got all these off-grid options. You know, solar is not cheap. It's not crazy expensive, but it definitely adds to the cost. And all the little RV parts you need to make it for the water system, it really adds up. So it'd be about $38,000. And then there's people, if you want to go to a longer trailer and just really nice finishes, you could go easily up to $60,000. So that's the kind of range.
I mean, that's a renovation in a home. Why not have a tiny house, right?
Exactly.
Then you can have two homes.
Yeah. In fact, I'm getting some calls for that too. People wanting these as a vacation house. Hmm. Maybe they can't. They have a site that's just real hard to get to. It would be really difficult to build on. So, you know, this is a good option for something like that.
Have you been asking the callers or the emailers how they found out about you?
Oh, yeah, always.
How is that?
So most, since the Herald article came out, a few people, you know, saw the article and directly called me from that. And then there's a handful of people that someone they knew saw the article and they were referred. Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit of that. And then quite a bit's actually come just through Facebook, power of Facebook. You know, I posted that article on my site, and then there's all these tiny house bloggers. It's a huge movement right now, and these people picked it up. They put it on their page that 100,000 people follow, and it just is just going like wildfire. So,
how fun, yeah. Tiny house bloggers.
Absolutely.
So now, are you blogging with them? And
well, a little bit. I write. I'm more interested in the technical aspects of tiny houses. Like a lot of people are interested in the fold-up porch on my house, and they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. How do you do that? So I write a little article about that. Little articles about how to incorporate solar, how to do this, how to do that. And then a lot of these bloggers are more interested in the political side of tiny houses and the legal side and just the aspect of living tiny, you know?
It's such an art form, though, to put something like this together and to have it feel like home and for you to then have a business out of it, too.
Absolutely. My house is just filled with everything's by hand, everything. You know, there's a bunch of reclaimed wood that I had to mill, and it's just, I left it rough, and just yeah, it's there's it can be very artistic in that regard.
That sounds great. I haven't seen it personally yet. I hope to see it at some point. But before we end today, I really want to ask you, you know, who are your ideal clients out there? So for people who are listening, who what you say sparks something for them and they talk to a friend, like what is that ideal client for you?
The ideal client is probably someone who is single, just because the demographics of tiny house living, it tends to be single people. Because it's you can do two or more people in a tiny house, but it starts to get a little cramped. So single, educated, it's not people that are necessarily living in poverty. It's actually most people who live in tiny houses are very well educated, and they actually have very stable income. It's just people wanting to simplify their life, and that's really the kind of person I'm looking for is someone who is making this conscious decision to go tiny and get rid of all their stuff and just
clear the house out, right?
It's just great. It's so freeing when you do that.
It feels nice.
Yeah.
I know, living with just what you need. I mean, not rather than what you can have, I guess.
And it's not, it's comfortable. It's not like you're sacrificing a whole lot of whatever you had in a big house. You still have, you know, heat and cooking and cleaning. It's just at a much, it's at a level that it's just, it works, you know.
What's your favorite part about your tiny house that you just absolutely love?
Favorite part is probably, I like the porch, you know. I just like the way it looks. I don't actually spend a lot of time on the porch because I can just put a chair out by the river or my hammocks out by the river. But there's something about that porch that just makes it look and feel like home. You know, it makes it real homey.
So for all of the people who have visited you at your place, what have been their comments about what your place looks like? And
well, I get a lot of things like, oh, it's cute. You know, it's so, because everything, you know, it's got a little tiny stove in there. They're like, oh, wow, that's so cute. Where'd you find that? And it's got a tiny sink and everything's just kind of tiny in there. And
hence tiny houses.
Tiny house,
right?
Exactly. But a lot of people like the loft, the sleeping loft. They're like, oh, that's a, you know, it's cozy up there. And the little windows that are in the gables, they're real tiny, of course. And
it's just fun watching you say tiny. I love it's like tiny this and tiny that. It's perfect for tiny houses. So what's your website again so people can go to it and really get some education on your business and you?
Yeah, sure. It's RockyMountainTinyHouses.com. There's a lot of information there. And there's also a Facebook page where I keep pictures of, you know, construction photos of the new model and kind of what's going on. So good way to stay in touch.
Perfect. Anything else you want to say to anybody out there that might be listening? Is your mom listening or anything like that?
Oh, my mom's on the road this morning, actually. She, gotcha. she came to visit me this weekend and they're heading to Breckenridge for the week. So.
All right. Well, if you've been listening this morning, thank you for doing that. You've been listening to Four Corners Arts Forum on KDUR 919-939. And Greg Parham has been my guest this morning on RockyMountainTinyHouses.com. If you're interested in something like this, just call him because he's fun to talk to and he's very educated, knows exactly what he's doing, right?
Oh, of course.
Do you want to give your phone number out over the air or would you rather than
go to
your website?
Oh, that's fine. No, I don't mind. It's Courses Local, 970-749-4818.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and thanks for tuning in to KDUR.